This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, Georgie, check for Dadsy. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery free and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Forestieri, here's Hogg, Deeney! Do not scratch your eyes! Do not scratch your eyes! Do not scratch your eyes!
Welcome to the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast. Our special guest this evening is Micah Hyde. Good evening, Micah.
Good evening, gentlemen.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Trying to cope through this pandemic, keep myself busy, you know?
That's it, mate. That's it. Yeah, tough times at the moment, but good to speak to you.
For sure.
So, Micah, you came to Watford, I think, at a really interesting time. You signed for us in 97, is that correct?
Yeah, I think it was 97, 96, 97 season.
And Graham Taylor was in charge at the time, his second stint in charge of the club. The 97-98, 98-99 seasons were really memorable. Can you tell us how you came from Cambridge United to Watford in 97?
Long story short, there was a few clubs that was interested to talk to me when I was at Cambridge. Watford was the first one I spoke to. I came to the training grounds, saw Graham, had a conversation with Graham, and then I decided to sign for Watford. I didn't go and talk to the other clubs. I decided to talk to Watford after.
Good move. Were you, Micah, am I right in saying, were you captain of Cambridge at the time?
Yeah, I was at the time. I think I was the youngest captain in the country as a captain, as a professional.
Yeah, I was going to say, you were young. That's impressive.
So yeah, there was a few clubs that was interested in me, probably off the back of that, obviously. And then I spoke to Watford, spoke to Graham, and the rest is history. I signed for Watford, and yeah.
What was it about Watford in particular that made you want to come to Watford?
Probably more Graham than Watford, wasn't it, to be honest with you? So it was more just the person talking to the person more than the actual club. Okay. Just the way his vision and what he saw and expectations also, and also how he related to me, basically. Yeah. How we got on, and I saw that, how I saw things, he saw things.
We spoke to a couple of players, Gifton Williams, Peter Kennedy. I mean, when you were signed, there was quite a lot of players coming in at the time, if I remember now. It's quite a while back. But they all sort of say a similar thing, that it was all about speaking to Graham, and Graham was the one that kind of just straight away, as soon as they spoke to him, that was it. They were in. They were done. Just mentioning Gifton there, Gifton tells a really good story that, you know, he had kids really young. He wanted to focus on his football. We needed to focus on his football, and Graham made that easier by pulling a checkbook out, signing him a check, and, you know, going on his way. What was it like to work with Graham? Is there any stories that you've got, like on a personal note, whether it be a footballing one or something personal that you look back on and you think, yeah, you know, what a guy?
There's loads of stories, but two stand out. One, that we had a team meeting one time, and one of the league seasons, we had a team meeting, and he singled me out in the team meeting as a young player, as a person, you know, that's overwhelming. So that was one thing. That's a special moment for me when he was in the team meeting. The other moment was when me and Charlie Miller, we took a team photo pre-season, and Graham was disgusted with me and Charlie Miller because we took a team photo and I put my hand on his knee and he put his hand on my knee. So it looked essentially like I had a white hand and he had a black hand. And we didn't think nothing of it, just banter. Just normal banter, and then we went away. So it was pre-season, we went away to play Birmingham at Walsall. Went to Walsall. Normally, what happens is we get on a bus. Normally, the players and Kenny and the management staff and Graham will come on last. Generally, so I mean, when they get on the bus is leaving basically. So yeah, that's how it normally works. So they're going to sit on a bus and wait for people to come on. So we're sitting on a bus, me and Charlie Miller. I've gotten all about this photo shoot a couple of days before. I ain't thought nothing of it. Got on the bus. Kenny Jackett's come on the bus and said, the gaffer wants to see you in the changing room. So as we got off the, bus, he goes, no, get off the back. Because we sat at the back, me trying to say, so get off the back. So we got off the back. As we got off the bus, got into the changing room, the bus was gone and left us. we had nothing. It was our tracksuits on us, just our tracksuits. We had no money, nothing. Just left us in Birmingham. Went back to Victory Road, left us in Birmingham, me and Charlie Miller. That was a lesson learned. So that's where I took the lesson. It must have cost, for the few bob, you know, doing the photos. And me and him, he's gonna done that, and he's about to redo it all. So he was fuming. So that was a moment.
Was that a phone call to someone saying, listen, could you come and pick us up in Birmingham, yeah, please?
Definitely. We said, the other half to come and send a cab, taxi, the other end, or whatever. Sweet, I'll pay for it now. And then, so that we get up. So that's what we had to do in the end. But yeah, that was a special, a funny moment.
Wow. That's funny. That's funny. The first season you were there, 97-98, obviously we were in the old second division as it was at the time. There was a few very famous matches, certainly that I remember and Carl remembers as well. Are there any games in that particular season that stand out for you?
No, not really. None that really particularly stand out. I just remember us being a bit of a wild bunch at the beginning when I got there. Like you said, it was a collection of players. I think no one had come in from different levels of their career, and it was just like a jelly season, and it just went really well, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I remember, the standout kind of thing for me was Jono and you. Kind of just clicked, just seemed to just, you both, you know, so sometimes, look, I've never been a professional footballer, my God, playing at Castlebury Park is about as high as I've gone, but you know, when you get that click in the midfield in the engine room, which is basically what it is, you know, Jono scored some screamers. You know, you were a box to box all over the place. As the song goes, you're here, you're there, you're everywhere. It's, you know, it's that was you all over. You know, workhorse. And probably when I look back, and I was saying this to Justin, when I look back at the players and the squad we had, you don't appreciate how good that team was and what, you know, what we had in it. Like for depth, you know, Gifton Old Williams, right to the back, Alec Chamberlain. We had it everywhere. We had such a good team. And I didn't appreciate how good a player you were until I go, and maybe are suffering now as a Watford supporter a little bit, but you know, how, you know, what an engine you were, you know, all over the park and getting stuck in goals, you know, you really sort of kicked on at Watford. I think when I look at, obviously you went to Burnley afterwards and so forth, but you scored quite a lot of goals for us.
I did when I came to Watford. I was in that number eight. I think the way I played is because midfielders now have been put into a little bit of pigeonhole. There are a number 10 or a number 8 or a number 4 and all that nonsense. So me, a number 8, if midfield is a number 8, should be able to pass it, tackle, shoot, score, pass backwards and pass forwards, preferably forward. The time I came with Jono was going through, from my understanding, he was going through a little bit of a lull. I think Jono was, when I arrived at the club, he was there a number of years before me, and I think he was going through a little bit of a lull, or, you know, he had the ability, but I think he was going through a little lull. And we just connected. Me and Jono, we just connected. And my attitude rubbed off on him, and his attitude rubbed off on me, and we got on off the park as well.
So yeah, that's good.
We had an amazing team spirit, I think, and that helped galvanise everything. But as far as playing style was, my playing style was somewhat probably recognised now, more now than it was when I was coming through as a player. Because I had to run. If I didn't run, I wouldn't be able to play, and it was a running game. Run. Doesn't matter how good you were the ball, the football weren't about technique when I was coming through, and I love technique. I'm all about getting the ball and keep it.
Yeah.
I had to learn that to run. If I didn't run, I wouldn't have made it as a professional footballer. And I understood this. I had to run. Otherwise, they weren't playing me.
They weren't playing,
no, they get someone else just to run up and down, you know? That's what football was in my time coming up. And it's changed somewhat. I'm glad for it, to be honest.
Yeah, no, the game's kind of moved on a lot since, you know, especially since you were playing and so forth. But it's like you say, midfielders now are very much, they're this, they're that. There's no, it's all pigeonholed and a little bit abstract and not.
FIFA era, the kids are into
that's
FIFA.
What it is, yeah, that's FIFA. it, bang on, it's FIFA, yeah, and it doesn't work like that.
No, essentially it doesn't, it didn't when I was, you know, So me and Jono, you have the different qualities. I'd say Jono would probably be the one that maybe paid us a 4, if anything, and I might have been an 8. So you have different qualities, but in my time, midfielder had to run. You had to be able to get up and down the pitch, to be honest. So
yeah. You and Jono were close off the field as well. So you used to hang out together, and so we always get told whenever we speak to, I mean, Nicky Wright definitely mentioned it. He said get Jono on one of these because he's always got the stories. But everyone blames Jono for being the party animal and causing everyone hangovers and stuff like that. What's your? I'm going to put you on the spot. What's your favourite Jono story that you can obviously tell us?
Probably Jono's one of my best friends in football. Probably one of my best friends out of football. So it won't be on Jono. Probably be on me and what I've done to Jono. At Christmas too, I think one of our Christmas twos. I mean, Jono gets painted out as but he's not. We was all so was at a Christmas too. We had a few drinks at the end of the night, and I've had one too many. Jono's with his missus. His missus has got a very expensive dress on. I think it was Vivian Westwood. Very expensive dress. Yeah, and I think the drink overcame me, and it kind of went over Jono's missus. It went over Vanessa. that weren't pleasant. But me and Jono were in stitches. We couldn't stop laughing. We was on the, his missus weren't happy. She was fuming. But me and Jono, we were in stitches. We was on stitches. But yeah, that's the kind of person he is. We got on really well. No, that's good.
We hopefully get Jono on soon.
I'd love to get Jono on. Yeah, definitely want to get Jono on.
Yeah, we'll get him on. I'll tell him. Get him on.
Please, tell him. I'd love to get Jono on. He's like, I think I said to Carl, he's probably one of my most favourite players ever, Jono. I just think there was something about
apart
his spirit.
Apart from Michael Hyde, you said.
Apart from Michael Hyde, yeah. But I said, you know, the actual spirit that guy had when he played was just, you could just feel it in the stands. It was fantastic. That first season then culminated in us going up as champions we won against Fulham that day, the final day of the season. Was there any particular memories you have of the final day of the season at Fulham or?
No.
Okay.
I think I actually tried to nick your boots.
Yeah, I remember fans, yeah.
I ran on, yeah. I think we tried to nick your boots.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember that. Because I got thrown over the fence, over the thing, and then it was all onto the field, and there was just everyone. And there was players walking off the field, as I remember, with no shorts on. They literally had everything stuck. They were stripped. We were trying to get your boots off, but you weren't having any of it.
I was thinking about the game, the actual game itself, leading up to it, but the actual day, the fans, yeah, I remember the fans were coming to pitch, and they were trying to strip us, that was good.
Well, it was him. It was Carl. You can blame Carl.
It was me, yeah.
he was trying to get your boots. So the following season then, we were in the old Division 1, and there was something about that season as well. You could feel, you know, there's some real momentum behind the team. There were some new faces that came in, like Alan Smart and Nick Wright. And again, that season felt really, really nice as well. Is there anything you can remember from the season where we got promoted to the Premiership that you think, there's some really happy memories there, or anything particularly you can remember about that season where you felt that we might get promoted to the Premiership, or you could feel that we were going to get into the playoffs? Or
I'm speaking for myself, obviously, but for also the team and that time, that period. I say the reason why, just to go back to the Fulham, when you mentioned the Fulham, when we got promoted from that league, and I said no. Going into that season, halfway through the season, I think there was a feeling that we was going to do something anyway. There was. We was a kind of honest bunch, but we understood what we was doing, and we were serious about our work. We were serious professionals that had to take a part. So we knew we was going to do well that season, and we did. Going into the following season, we started off really well, and then Graham, we started off really well, and then we got a little dip, and Graham got ill and missed a few games of the season.
Yes.
I think half a dozen games.
Yes, yes.
And we went through a little bit of a fluctuation in our performance, and we kind of dropped out of the playoffs, and we was in mid-table wallowing around, and then we galvanised ourselves and had a real push towards the end, and I think that real push really set us up to go on and do something special that season. But I'm saying the belief within the squad and the respect we had for each other on the pitch, because we never all got on. That was another thing. Not everybody got on within our group over that period of time.
Oh, this is interesting. Okay. I've not heard this before.
Team spirit. No, what we had was immense team spirit and respect for each other. But not everyone necessarily got on. And that was healthy. It wasn't unhealthy.
Yeah. You don't. I think that is healthy. I think if everyone gets on, it can get a bit friendly and a bit. Yeah. There's no drive and ambition to go and. Yeah, I think you need that, definitely.
Absolutely. That's why I thought we were successful over that period of time. Because when the new players came, we still had a core of players that would had won something together going into next season. There was still a core. Yeah. We just won the league, sort of thing. Or not the league, we just got promoted. And the other players that brought the quality, kind of, they come with the same spirit. It was just a good feeling. And then,
yeah, I mean, again, going back, we spoke to a few players, as I said, and Graham seems to have a knack of getting players in that I don't want to say wanted to prove themselves, but I'll use Nicky Wright and Alan Smart as a thing, as both coming from Carlisle. Nicky not getting a real decent chance at Derby, you know, doing well at Carlisle and going on, and Alan Smart doing his thing as well. So he seemed to get the best out of that squad, and it was a bit like a chef. He'd have all these ingredients, and I think that's what makes a real good manager, is that, you know, you get that blend of everything, and Graham just seemed to have a knack of doing that. Now, you know, I'm not old enough to have seen the first time round, but certainly the second time round, it was what happened in those periods that you were at the club was amazing, you know. And to be fair, although we've done very well in the Premier League, you know, the seasons before, have never been repeated, you know, from consistency, is what I'm saying. It's, and that's part of where the club is at the moment, that they haven't got a consistent manager and somebody that, you know, that leads from the front and so forth. And it's probably the change in football. But part of that period that you were involved in was probably one of the best in the club's history. And that's all to do with Graham and the philosophy that he had. And dare I say, he was ahead of his time, in my opinion, you know, well ahead of his time. I don't know what his training sessions were like and, you know, what sort of stuff he used to get you guys doing. But he just seemed to have the stuff they're doing now. Graham was almost trialing and erroring it back then.
I agree with everything you've just said, and you said it so elegantly and better than what I want to say.
I got called elegant. This is recording, isn't it?
I'll go for a cup of tea. Everything you've said is spot on. What Graham had, you've got certain managers that think that the management's about how good they can be and what the information they can give players and how they tell the players to do this and what they tell the player and the tactical side of it and all that. For me, and my approach going into football was, as a young man, young kid to what I am now, I've always been, it's about the mind, and Graham was all about the mind.
Yeah.
So that's what it was all about. Graham got it. Graham had an holistic approach to do things. And like you said, it's in now, because I remember we got a psychologist in when it was just being thought of. We had Kieran in, who came in, who works for Staley.
Was that the guy in the pink shirt?
Yeah, he came in, yeah.
Yeah.
So wouldn't be for some players. So when Graham took that to England, maybe some of the players were all, they ain't got time to talk to them. And some of the group, some of our players in our group would be with it or against it, which is natural.
Yeah.
He was into that sort of mental approach, and, you know, one's mind can make your body do exactly what you want or make it exceed what you think it can. Therefore, we had the success we had with the players that he brought in. So he gave us that influence and that confidence, obviously, to go and do well, to be winners. Because that's what it was about, you know.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's what it was about. No, it was. Good, it was quality.
That season culminated with a day out at Wembley, which is not something that Watford fans are particularly accustomed to. So that was really, really special, having the playoff final at Wembley. Do you have any memories of the build up to Wembley, or from the semi finals onwards to the final at Wembley?
Yeah, I remember it all, to be honest. That's one game I do quite remember well, a lot, you know, after games I've played. I do remember that.
Nicky Wright said we won that in the tunnel.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I'll say we were in the bus on the way there. The game was won before we played the game, to be honest. And it was, we won it. We won it in our minds. We knew we was going to go and do well, to be fair. And we did go and do well on the day. But like Nicky says, that was a vibe. And that was, the vibe, the word is vibe. That was the right vibe. That was a vibe that was going through the camp at that time.
Mm.
So I felt that. Nicky felt it. We all felt it going into that game. Like, we felt invincible, to be fair.
I felt when we got past Birmingham, I thought Birmingham was the tricky one. And that we nicked that 1-0 win at home. And then obviously the Alex hit heroics at Birmingham, the set. But we got through that. And then from there, I think we were destined to win that. But I always remember, and I forgot actually until we spoke about it, but we actually beat Bolton twice that season.
We did.
And I completely forgot about that, because outside, as a fan coming to that game, the Bolton fans were adamant. They were adamant they'd won that game. I still, to this day, where did they get that from? Because we had beaten them twice, and the way they got to the playoffs was a slightly different one. But it was just a weird sensation. And then when we were in the ground and Nicky Wright's goal, from that moment, it was like, well, it's in the stars now, isn't it? I mean, who goes and scores a goal like that at Wembley? Jesus.
See what you just said. The affinity that the players had between the fans at that time was unique, which is somewhat lost today in the modern game. And exactly what you said about their expectations, Bolton's expectations of what they're going to do to us, we felt that as well. We felt that they felt there was a bigger club. We would always beat them.
Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah. It was a bigger club mentality. Yeah. That's what it was. Definitely.
Exactly like that. So we knew we were going to beat them, because that's the attitude they had. Not in a bad way. It was unexpected. It wasn't derogatory at all.
Well, they had some, like, you know, good Johnson was playing for them. They had some, like,
They had better players than us.
High-profile players, weren't they? Yeah.
They were superb. They had better players than us. If you looked at their players and their squad, I think they had more money and they built a better squad than us. So on the one-off game, they would have fancied themselves to beat us at Wembley. But unfortunately, that wasn't the case.
During those seasons, Michael, were there any players that you felt were a challenge to play against? Some really good players that you felt, oh yeah, you know, he's quite tricky to play.
I respected Pierre Frampton. I thought he was agile.
See,
I respected players, and I like the one that played for Leicester, I forgot his name. I should remember his name, but he played for Leicester for a long while. He was played in midfield, played for England a couple of times, but didn't get the games I thought he deserved.
Right.
I liked him, and he played for a number of years in Leicester. But I like people like Pierre Frampton, and I respected him, the way they played and received the ball and passed the ball. So, but there weren't many players that I had too much respect for, because I wasn't really into giving too much respect to him.
No, good. Yeah, that's good.
I didn't even want to switch shirts when he was in the Premiership. I wasn't interested.
Was that not your thing? You went into that, no?
Not really. Not in a bad way.
I'm surprised you never swapped a shirt with Nicky Butt.
I would have. It'd be nice, right? Yeah, it'd be nice, but I just didn't see the point. I don't know what.
No, that's good. I think that's the attitude. There's nothing worse in... I tell you who was... He used to drive me crazy. This is a Watford thing now. He used to bother me. Aurelio Gomez. Now, goalkeeper, I used to love him playing for Watford. Whenever we went back to Tottenham, it just seemed that he was more focused. They used to love him. He was more focused on taking all the appraise and like clapping around the stadium. Like before we'd even kicked off, when we're warming up and that. And I used to watch him and I used to think his head isn't here today. You know, like he's going to be all flappy and doing stupidness. Yeah, and I was right every time, because it used to get to him. It used to unfocus him.
Yeah, see, I don't like things like that. See, I found it was a little bit like that when I was in the Prem with Watford. I found it was like that as a team, a little bit of a squad, a little bit starstruck and all of that stuff. That's what I found. I didn't know they like it. And see, that Gomez thing, that would have infuriated me if I was...
Oh, it did, mate. It used to bother me, yeah.
That team, like, get on with your job. What are you doing? Like, get on with it. It would have infuriated me to see someone doing that before a game, because you know he's not focused on what he's meant to be doing.
It was stuff like, he's been a great player for us, but just silly things like that. I used to think, come on, man, please, you're wearing a Watford shirt. Don't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Do it at the end of the game, by all means. Crack on, but have a blinder first.
I see players at my time.
I like that. Listen, the swapping shirt stuff is maybe stuff that should go on behind the scenes. I remember years ago, weren't they swapping at half time? Was it Chelsea and someone?
Yeah, they were stopping at half time. Yeah.
Like, what? What the hell's going on here? You know, that's bad. For me, I mean, look, when I was a kid, I always wanted to be a professional footballer. But if I was playing against, outside, Dennis Bergkamp. I used to love Dennis Bergkamp. But if I was going to go and play, or Patrick Vieira, something like that, if I was going to go and play against that, someone like that, I want him to remember me. And I want him to remember me because I've absolutely done him, like stuck him in Rosette or, you know, whatever it is, nutmegged him or just something like that. Just smash him into Rosette or nutmegged him or just something that he remembers. He'll go, he left me there, he left me in a right heap. You know, stuff like that. Not, you know, Pat, oh, can I have your shirt, please? Let me have your shirt, please.
And then after that, took their shirt, what are they going to do with my shirt? What's the point?
Yeah, exactly. It goes in. Where's it going to go?
Wall.
Yeah.
I'm going to go their wall, is it? And I'm not going to put your shirt on my wall, so what's the point? I don't want to put your shirt on my wall. So, like, I want to put my Watford shirt on my wall and show my kids, man, that there's my Watford shirt that I'm playing in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's cool. That's it. See, I love that. Just going back to the playoff thing very quickly. We've won, we've beaten Bolton, you're a Premier League footballer. Did it change? I mean, you've just mentioned it there, and that's what I want to get into. Did it change for you as a footballer, a Championship player, where the media maybe weren't really looking at you or anything like that? Did you notice the change?
No.
There was no...
Because there was a change, obviously. We've gone from Premiership, so everything's around the club slightly different. Obviously, the cameras are there. So that's an immediate change. But I mean, the change where the Premiership now is now, how it's grown, the size it is, is now. I mean, the change was surmountable as far as I went. It wasn't a massive, massive change. You know, like there was cameras around the place and stuff like that. And there was new, the pitch was getting done nicer, obviously. And there was cleaning up the stadium and we was getting into a new season. But there wasn't no big drama.
Yeah, coming in the first day, we're like, what's gone on here?
I've done your job the first season. We're in the Premier. We're going to be playing against the best teams in the country. It's for the South, so I saw it.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
That season was pretty grim, to be fair. Certainly as a fan, it wasn't much of a spectacle. Why do you think we struggled in our first season in the Premier League? Is there anything particular you think might have been the key as to why we struggled?
Yeah, people probably... I say the team. I enjoyed my time in the Premier. I enjoyed playing. I got a lot of time on the ball and I played. And I enjoyed playing, but I didn't enjoy the actual season. As you said, I just thought there were too many players that I played really well in the Championship that when we got to the Prem, they kind of, I don't know, showed too much respect to the opponents, if you ask me. They showed too much respect to the opponents, in my opinion, at that particular time.
Right.
I mean, anything at all, but you're asking me a question, and my
That's what we want.
When I was playing in that team, we was doing things, and people was not. I don't care who was making the shots or trying to dribble. It's the same. They're still human beings. We've still got to do our job and not say, "Oh, wait, because it's Thierry Henry, it's okay." Then it's not all right. It's not okay. That's what I thought was going on a little bit in that season, because it's that person. And
there was excuses being made that, "Oh, it's Thierry Henry, or it's Vieira, or whatever."
That person's world class. Like, what makes someone world class?
And smash him, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I thought was a bit of a disappointment in that actual season. I thought we didn't give it enough goals we could have possibly gave it, if that made sense, collectively. You know.
We'd had two promotions, and it almost felt like we'd not peaked too early. I don't want to say we peaked too early, but we'd had two promotions successfully. It was the Premier League, and we were almost like rabbits in the headlight kind of thing at times. And, you know, I know we had the odd, like we beat Liverpool at Anfield and so forth. The Chelsea game at home springs to mind. I thought we were superb that day. The majority of it was, Jesus Christ, you know, this is
kind of fun.
Yeah, we didn't really change the squad. I mean, there was players, I noticed a change, and we speak about him now, Nordan Wouter.
Yeah.
Remember him?
Mm,
he used to do everything. He used to dribble, he used to run up the line, and then you just go on, cross the ball. Cross the ball. Do it. And he wouldn't. He'd just try and beat that, and you just feel, just do the basics really well, and then all the other stuff might come. And that was kind of how I felt. And as Justin just said, it was so frustrating that season. But what did we expect, really? I mean, I don't know.
Well, I think the introduction of Helgeson made a bit of a difference. You could see that there was going to be some more sort of attacking threat and stuff. But there, some of the sort of bit players like Xavier Gravelaine and stuff, you just think, well, who is this man that's playing for us? It was a very strange season.
Justin, Graham showed faith in us, the players that got promoted, and then he obviously bring in new players, and then put them two groups together. I don't think we were strong enough. Not sure of it.
I think he was right, though,
because you all deserve the opportunity. You all deserved it. Every single one of you. But like you say, if you add to that the fact that certain players might have gone, I've got an excuse. You know, I did this because he's a world-class player, then, you know, and you add to that players that are coming in and not really understanding the ethos and how the club was, and trying to get that, you know, to work in one season is really difficult. So it's always going to be an uphill struggle. But look, it was a great experience. I loved it. Got to see some grounds that I've never been to. It was brilliant.
It's always nice seeing the world's best players on your pitch, isn't it? There's something nice about that. Watching your team taking on the best players.
Especially when Mike High goes and smashes them in half.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So obviously that season ended in relegation, which, you know, was not inevitable, but explainable. The following season, I think we started on a really big high up until about Christmas. We were sort of coasting away, and we sort of fell away with it. And then the season after that, you started playing under a new manager. What was the main difference between playing for Graham Taylor and then playing for Gianluca Vialli?
You got two different managers. You got a manager that just deals with the football side of things and just what he wants the footballer to do. Then you had the first manager, Graham, who dealt with the person, and the football became secondary, so then you could get the best out of the person to play the football.
Right.
And if you had no connection, if that made sense, you know, we were just all buddies and playing a certain way, I'm going to do this and do that, which is fine. Obviously, perfectly fine. He's a manager and we're professionals. But like I said, under Graham, it was definitely more of a holistic approach, a more personal approach to get the results. Under Vialli, it was an industrial way. So it was an industrial approach, kind of, we're doing this, we're doing it that way, and we should be getting results doing it that way. If everyone does it this way, we should get results.
Right, okay.
He showed me
new things, and I learned new things under Vialli, and good and bad. In any experience, you take good and bad, but I saw new things and different approaches, but again, I took that as positive.
Literally from top to bottom, it was a change at the club, wasn't it? Vialli's approach to it, as you just covered, it was completely different to Graham. So, you know, and I guess, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, I guess even like simple stuff like coming into training or what you were eating and you know, little bits and pieces like that, the whole thing changed. So it's all about adjustment. And you throw in, I look back at the players we signed at the time, we threw a load of money at it, basically, didn't we? We threw a load of money at it and we went, that will get results. And we've got Gianluca Vialli, who, you know, his CV speaks for itself. We're going to go and achieve great things. And I always remember, I think it was the first game of the season, we played away at Man City at Main Road. I just looked at us and I just went, this is going to be a long season. It's going to be a long season. Because it was just, instead of, I mean, again, I was never part of a Grant Taylor thing, but it was always like, let's get the ball into the box in the most efficient way and try and, you know, and it was all very like, that way. Yeah. You know, you put the whole lot together on paper. Yeah, it should have worked. It should have been the best thing since sliced bread. But as history has dealt us, it really wasn't. And you're quite unique in that. And this is why I was really keen to speak to you. You've seen it from that side, from Graham's side, and what really worked really well. And then on the other side, what didn't. You know, as a player, you've seen it from both sides. So going on, and you're a football man. I know you do your stuff. You still coach? Are you still coaching and doing bits and bobs?
Yeah, I'm coaching. I'm a professional development coach at QPR.
Yeah, so like those things that you've learned, and as you just said, like good and bad, you know what works and you know what's right, and you'll take bits from Graham that you've just picked up, and you'll take bits from VI that might have worked and you know don't work, and you're quite unique in that way, and I mean that in a real positive way, that you've seen both sides of the club that I love. It's close to my heart and Justin's heart. A time that was fantastic for us and a time that was quite honestly awful.
Yeah, I agree. But you say, you know, it's not. I'm not solely unique myself, to be honest with you. I'm glad. I mean, nice words, but it's every footballer is probably unique in that aspect. Our skill sets and what we learn through resilience and be able to cope with different environments and different people's actions and what they do is unique. So I'm not alone in that. Most footballers will probably have these unique qualities, to be fair, to deal with different leaders, because that's what they are, essentially. The people, the manager, the leader, really. So you've got to be able to do the things that he wants to do. Just before I went to Watford, I was at Cambridge. Again, I had a different... John Beck was the manager then. And if you know anything about John Beck and his style and his philosophy of football and the way he sees football, it's a complete eye-opener. Because you talk about long ball stuff, he takes it to the extreme. And then you go to Graham and then you have Viali. So my learning, as far as just them three people alone, has been astonishing, really, to be fair, to see how
they
do things in football. And Viali came in Watford and he changed everything, like you said. He changed from top to bottom, what we ate, the hours we slept.
Yeah.
And in between training, we had to go to hotels and sleep in hotels. None of us had done that before. It was a completely kind of approach.
Yeah, because that was kind of the last, like during Graham's time, I used to walk up Occupation Road, because the players used to park in the, and sometimes you'd walk up there and there'd be, you know, yourself or players, and you'd be like, almost having a chat, like, you know, have a good game and so forth. And that, Viali came, didn't see any players. It was like, and as you say, rightly or wrongly, but it was a very, very quick turnaround and like overnight. And we chucked money at left, right and centre. And, you know, that Viali's time, I don't blame Viali. And there'll be Watford fans that will go, oh, Gianluca Viali ruined the club. Let's put it straight. It was all the things outside of that that put the club in the position that it was in. Viali just unfortunately happened to be the administrator of that. And Ray Lewington came in, and I'm a massive fan of Ray Lewington. I thought he'd done really well from the Forest with what he had, you know, to work with. And, you know, I look at managers like Kenny Jackett down at Portsmouth now, who he's got nothing to work with. And it must be hard coming into a club that have spent so much money in its before you arrive there, and then trying to rebuild something to get something going. It's a thankless task, really, in some ways, isn't it? It's just mind-blowing.
Absolutely. So obviously, you just mentioned Ray Lewington there, Carl. Viali left and his assistant took over, Ray Lewington. Those years, again, I don't remember particularly fondly in football terms, but we had some occasions that were quite good. We had some semi-finals in League Cups, and yesterday was the 18th anniversary of the semi-final against Southampton, which you played in, didn't you?
I believe so.
That was really, I think, the highlight of the Lewington term, if you like, was the semi-final against Southampton at Villa Park, which was a 2-1 loss in the end, I think, wasn't it, if I remember rightly? Carl?
Yeah, James beat you, wasn't it, I think, scored.
Yeah.
Vaguely remember.
No relation.
Because did Michael Chopra came in, didn't he? Was it around that time?
It was, around that time. I think Chops played. I think he might have played.
Yeah, he did. Chops played, yeah. Yeah, because we had...
That was the highlight of the season, you're right. That was the highlight of the season, to be fair.
Marcus Gale.
Chamberlain played in goal, didn't he, I think, Alec? I'm pretty sure Alec Chamberlain.
He played for a long while after. Yeah, I was there. Yeah.
On another day, I look back at that game and I always think, do you know what, we could have won that. Yeah. We could have nicked that game. It was just, Southampton were quite lucky to get out of that, because then they played, I think it was Arsenal in the final.
Yeah, it was. I can't remember. They beat Sheffield
United. Yeah, they were... they got away with that a little bit. I think if we'd been, I think our preparation was a little bit stunted. I think we had injuries and
We were stumbling around. I remember getting into that game. Yeah, we did. It was our preparation probably wasn't ideal. I remember we were stumbling into the game, but we had injuries and on that season.
Stephen Glass's free kick in the quarterfinals was the highlight. I think that was fantastic. That was
against Burnley, wasn't it? Yeah,
brilliant. You eventually left us, and you went to Burnley. Any strong memories of being there, or
strong memories? Yeah, they weren't leaving Watford. Was one big strong memory. Leaving them was
Was it not to your liking then? The way you left, or
not at all? No, it wasn't at all. I think, like I said, by the time we had gone through that, and like just back of that season, and going into the next season, I think I might have been there 7 years and. And a little injury at the beginning of the season. I felt like I think the club probably felt that it was time for a change, basically.
Right.
So the club kind of didn't really offer me a contract, but said they would accept anybody that came in for me. So if the club was saying that to me, I'm kind of thinking, well, that's fair enough.
But okay.
And when you really want me to leave, which is fine because the club was going for certain changes. My only disappointment in hindsight, looking back with leaving, was I didn't really leave in a way to say bye to the fans. But I was injured. I didn't get to really say goodbye. And that season was my only season really where I had niggling injuries as well. So it was a season where it might have been, I get a lot more Watford fans reaching out to me now than I ever did when I finished, when I retired.
That's because we wish you were still playing, mate. We could do it in the midfield. we're just trying to work out if you're fit enough, that's all.
Yeah, that's it.
That's literally why we've organised this, because Tom Cleverley's out for a little bit. Like, you might squeeze in there.
I think I can still do a job.
I reckon you do a job, yeah.
Yes, I think I didn't really get to say bye to the fans properly the way I would like to have been able to. If there is ever a way to say bye to fans properly, I don't think I've done an interview or anything like that at the time. I think I just kind of left. I think I just went.
You were there a long time. I mean, 7 years. That's a long time.
It was a long time. And it was one of them, because I'm sure you were like really linked with Crystal Palace. And I remember if Michael Hyde goes to Crystal Palace, I'll find him and I'll tell him he ain't going there, because I've got a thing with Palace. Sorry. But I was like, he ain't going to Crystal Palace. Not a chance. And then obviously the Burnley, who was Palace? Was it Cottrell?
No, it was in Dowie, I think, at the time.
Dowie. So I was like, please don't go there. Because there's certain players that, especially when you get to watch them for so many years, it becomes a love thing. And it's like, there's certain clubs that those players can't go to, and Crystal Palace, unfortunately, is one of them. And you didn't. You went to Burnley. But I just, my overriding memory is we were skint, and we weren't offering contracts, we weren't going to pay the money that had been jangling around before or anything like that. So I think, if anything, you were a victim of the Vialli era, you know, of the money set, the ITV collapsing and everything else. And and I think that was purely it. And, you know, if things had been another way and it hadn't gone like that, I personally think you would have stayed at Watford a lot longer.
Possibly, but being somewhere 7 years, I don't even look back like that, to be honest with you. Possibly, who knows? But you know, I still went and had fun. I still had a good career. I still played football at Burnley. Played 7 years is a long time to be at a club, and maybe I would have been there and would have done a wrap up. I think that was a good.
What was Burnley like? That must have been a bit of a change. I mean, I assume you moved family because you're obviously London born and bred, pretty much. Was that moving the family up there? Different setup. And
for me, I needed a change. It was a massive change going up there, and it was good. We had a small squad before he started bringing in players and stuff like that, and it was a big change. But thankfully, in hindsight, it was a good change for me and my family. You know, it was good because again, they experienced stuff that they wouldn't experience before by moving up there. We lived up for 3 years and they got an accent and all sorts. So beat that Northern accent that happened. It was fun. It was good fun. It was good. Again, I learned a lot as well. So it was fantastic. I want to turn it back now. I want to say, give me 3 more years at Watford instead of giving me the 3 years at Burnley. The 3 years at Burnley.
Who was your manager at Burnley?
Steve Cottrell.
Ah, that's it. I knew Cottrell was involved. Yeah, so Steve Cottrell, right, okay.
So Cottrell talked about, you know. So that, yeah, that was interesting. That was, different again, different side of management. Again, interesting.
You played for Jamaica.
Yeah.
You've scored for Jamaica. What's this comes from my son Callum. What's your take on what Jamaica are looking at doing at the moment with regards to recruiting certain players? I mean, Andre Gray's been mentioned from Watford, Antonio from West Ham. I suppose what I'm trying to get at, is that a slight disrespect to the players that probably played before and not, you know, and maybe getting shunted out, or is it a smart move? I don't know. What, I'm just trying to get your kind of opinion on what they're trying to do to, you know, to qualification and so forth.
Are you referring, to the home-based players?
Yeah.
I think it comes down to quality. I mean, I do the same thing. I think it comes down to quality. If you've got a player that's eligible to play for your country like I was, there are players eligible. A lot of the Rugby Irish players that are played, and players are different. Even the French players, they've been. So if there's players that's eligible to play for a country, I think you've got to try and use the resources in front of you to try and do the best you can for that country. Getting qualified for the World Cup, obviously, is a big thing for the national
team. Yeah.
So I don't see nothing wrong with it personally. And if these players, like Antonio, is waiting for an England call-up and ain't coming, and he wants to play international football, well, there's an opportunity.
I mean, dare I say it, and I think I said this to you, Justin, I mean, England now, we've kind of gone the other way. We've, like, got so many players for so many different positions, and it seems like, especially from the under-20, you know, the under-age levels, they've done so well. They're all kind of now just starting to drip feed into the, get in and around the English one. And I'm talking about Foden's and Jack Grealish's and players like that. We just seem to be over, even goalkeepers now. We seem to have loads of goalkeepers. We never had goalkeepers. We had David Seaman and Tim Flowers, and that was your lot. It was like, those are your, you know, that was it. But now it just seems like we've got choice in goalkeepers. We've got probably three or four decent right backs. We've got left-footed players, right-footed players. And we've almost flooded it. So my opinion is, if they can go and play for other countries because of, you know, where their family's from originally and whatever, then brilliant, great, crack on with it, because that's good. Because I tell you what, if Jamaica pull it right, I saw in the paper their possible, you know, starting 11. Jesus Christ, I wouldn't mind seeing that at Vicarage Road.
Yeah, I saw it as well. I saw that as well. It looks exciting, but you know, it looks good.
Yeah, probably. It looks good.
We'll see.
Right, cool. Right, so next one. Ah, right, so this comes from Adam Beatty. And he's put, if I spotted it correctly, Michael was involved in Harry's Heroes. If so, what was the experience like with all the ex-players coming together?
Fun.
Is it good, yeah?
Yeah, it was fun. I was in that. Yeah, Barnes got me involved. I was out of place in there because I'm healthy as... I ain't got no stuff in me at all. Wasn't out of place, but yeah, Barnsley called me. They needed a player to come and join in and help him out or whatnot. So I said, yeah, no problem. So it was good banter. Could you imagine what the banter was like in the change room?
I imagine it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was good,
It was fun.
Is there anyone there that you remember who's still got it? They could, you know,
all of them. Oh, what skills you mean? Ability?
Yeah.
And they've all got it. You don't lose it. You just can't run, can you? So you can control it.
the legs go, don't they?
Letitia was there, weren't he? Mercer was there playing. Barnes was there. Barnes didn't play, though. Sharpie was there. There was a few of them. But I'll say Letitia probably, because he didn't run it in his time, really. He was always on the ball.
No, so he just turned up at the right and then used to smash one from 40 yards, didn't he? And that was his thing.
Yeah, so he probably ran the show, to be honest with you. He's paid double ways to like to still play.
Quality.
Brilliant.
Right, next one is... This is from Chris Adams. We'll come on to this again in a minute because I wanted to ask you a couple of questions. But Chris asks, how did Ware FC persuade you to come out of retirement in 2016 to play one game for the club? And what were the circumstances behind your decision?
Kenny Charlery. You know Ken Charlery?
Yeah.
Both of them must know where. So Ken Charlery was the manager. And I was running an academy and I sent him some players and was talking down. And I was down there with him. Talking with him, training to watch one of these players train that I sent down to him, and then this midfielder's hand, da 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 da. I could see him itching to ask me if I want to play. I said, I can't play no more. Like, I can't. Why did he come? Just this one game, why did he come and play this one? I said, Kenny, I can't do it. And he said, just this one game. Do you got to do stand in the middle of the pitch? I said, all right, I done it. So that's why I done it, because I know Ken's my mate. And
he did it as a favour.
Yeah, done it as a favour. It's always going to be one game. I couldn't run. I did it as a favour to try and help him out. And I think we even drew. I think we was winning when we drew, so definitely weren't going to play after that. It was winning. Don't think we lost, if I can remember right. I don't think we lost, but we definitely drew, and I don't think he was happy. So
that was you give it a go, mate, to be fair.
Yeah, I did. So that's how I ended up playing for them.
And right, last question. This question is a good one. It's something we didn't really touch on. So before you were obviously at Cambridge, you were at, is it Brimsdown Rovers?
That's right.
And I believe there was another player there, Mr. David Beckham.
That's correct.
Did you have much dealings with David, or were
Yes, we So Ridgeway, the team was called Brimsdown, but it changed to Brimsdown after being Ridgeway Rovers. So I knew David from when we was 8-9 until you leave to go to scholarships and until he went to Manchester United and stuff. So I knew him. Yeah, we played together in the same team that produced about 8 professional footballers at the time. So our grassroots team from under 9s to about under 14, I believe, we played together for that period of time.
Yeah, you get that, don't you? I mean, like, I forget the name of him, but where Alan Shearer come from, his youth team, they 4 or 5 out of there, and they just seem to you get little pockets of them, don't you? They all kind of come out the same team. I take it David was no good at free kicks back then.
David was always good at free kicks back then.
Was he?
Yeah, he was good. That was his style. So he was good at it. He could run. He was a good runner. David was. So he could run as a young lad. His cross country and all that, and he could take free kicks. So he used to take our corners and free kicks. So what he's good at now is what he was good at then.
Yeah, and he could, to be fair, I think he still plays as well.
Yeah, so any young people that watch this video, if you play football and you're good at something, you've got to keep practicing it. Don't try and deviate and do things. Keep practicing, you've got to keep practicing. If you're a good dribbler, keep dribbling. Just try and get success.
That's what it is, isn't it? It's about repetition and keep doing it until it becomes a habit, I suppose.
Yeah, until you get success. Because you're going to fail, but until you get success. And David was really good at free kicks, and then obviously he's not.
Yeah, no, that's good. Do not scratch your eyes! Am I right in saying, does your lad play? Is he...
Yeah, it was until it got, the season's got curtailed.
Yeah, because he was, I forget where I saw his name. It was
a Colchester.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's looking to try and get a club now.
Is he?
Yeah, Colchester, yeah. The pandemic, we're about to make losses and do it.
That's a problem at the moment, is you don't realise how we spoke to, on the back of Jay Demerit. Jay Demerit was at Northwood, so we were speaking to a guy that he's basically not chairman, but works for Northwood.
Secretary,
club secretary. Are they going to survive? We don't know. You know, it's scary what's happening. Even the lower divisions. Colchester, professional football club.
You mentioned earlier that you're doing stuff with QPR. What's your role at QPR these days?
Yeah, I'm the lead under-18 coach. I'm a professional development coach, so I work with the 23s and the under-18s. We've got a good team down there, so I work under Les and Chris.
Oh, Ramsey. Dear, Les Ferdinand.
He's my boss, and Chris Ramsey. And
Paul. Sweet.
So we've got a good team there.
That's good. Any players coming to Watford, you know, want to let us have, because we need some?
I've disclosed that over on air.
Worth a try, isn't it? You can't knock me for a try.
Indeed.
I tell you one that he's going to be a bright future now, and we can mention because he played at the week at Humblow. He come on the left winger.
Humblow, yeah. Came on. He looks great.
Mate, he looks the real deal. The real deal. Looks a good player.
Yeah, Brazilian lad.
João Pedro.
There's meant to be interest in him. He's doing well, scored goals this season.
Yeah, he's scoring goals. He's doing quite well. Yeah, he looks not underdeveloped, but he just looks like he needs to get in the gym a little bit because the championship's so physical. It's horrible, you know, just...
Demanding.
Yeah, demanding. And I think I'm a little bit worried with him because I think he might play too much and we'll burn him out because Troy's going to be out for God knows how long. We're getting a little bit light on strikers, I think.
Is Andre Grayson on books?
Yeah. No, he scored. I mean,
poor
Andre. Yeah, he struggled for goals. All the stuff going on off the field just seemed to be taking over his life a little bit rather than when he was wearing the shirt. But he got a couple of goals, so fingers crossed he can kick on now. But yeah, I mean, it's talk of him getting involved with the Jamaican thing as well, so...
I didn't hear his name. I've heard a lot of names mentioned, but I didn't hear his.
Yeah, Andre Gray.
I've just been a bit, can I say, I'll say it, disappointed with Andre this season, because I thought at this level, at the Championship, it's made for him. Is Troy been fit all season?
He's been underwhelming. That's what he's been. That's the word.
Very underwhelming. Yeah,
very underwhelming. Very. Yeah.
Been underwhelming. You know, your job score, you've been underwhelming.
Yeah.
A great sign at the time, though, to be honest with you. I didn't think he was a good player. I didn't think he was a great signing at the time, to be honest.
Not for 18 and a bit million. And when you actually hear, you know, like you think about the amount of goals he scored, it's like 1.3 million a goal. That's what it's cost us.
It's a lot of money and his wages as well.
It's a lot of money. And I know you shouldn't judge players on that, but at the end of the day, when you're a striker, it's like judging a bricklayer on how many bricks he lays. If he's not laying any, then he ain't very good.
The only way, exactly that. And Andre Gray, unless he's not the kind of player that's going to bring other people into the game. So he's a player. If he's not scoring, I'm not sure if he's got the guy or quality to bring other people in the game as Troy would. Do you understand?
Yeah.
The goal scorer ain't over the top, score goals and, you know, hit it, you know, one touch finishing in the box, sharp, that sort of finishing. If he ain't doing that, then he's going to struggle to play in the team. What else is he going to
do? Yeah, definitely. That's it. And like I say, there's Watford seem to have done quite well in the youth setup now. There's a good few players coming through. So hopefully they can push on either this season or next season.
This season? Still there, what do you mean?
Norwich are flying. Brentford, that Tony is unreal. What a signing he is. Like, you talk about goal scorer.
Yeah.
Just a different class in this league. You know, Brentford will come well. Swansea keep getting penalties delivered, you know, like they're going out of fashion. So, you know what I'm talking about. When it's written and things just seem to, like, go right for you, the results go right for you for the other clubs, it just doesn't seem to be landing quite right for us at the moment. And I think Vicarage Road's a real tough place to go and play as an away team.
No, the fans.
Yeah, because it's a tight, it's like Loftus Road. Yeah. Horrible place to go and play your football when it's full. Be horrible, because they're right on top of you. It's
feeling you must miss.
Oh, mate, it's killing me.
It's awful. I mean, watching it on telly is okay, but
drinking beer out of tins, you know, I want a fresh.
There's nothing quite like being there in Vicarage Road when it's rocking and your team's playing well and, you know, the songs are coming out. It's just, it's a different thing, isn't it? Watching it on TV.
I mean, you played at Barnet, didn't you, for a little bit as well?
Did for a year. Yeah.
So was that at the new ground or the
new ground?
Oh, it was the new ground.
Was that
not the one that was uphill?
No. We trained at the new. Funny enough, we trained at a new place, but the pitch weren't ready yet. So we played at Underhill. And we trained.
Oh, Underhill. Yeah, because the pitch used to be like that. If you were kicking like,
you played Daniel the first time, so you mean just second half.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
That was exciting as well. That was fun. We're playing for them. That was good as well.
Am I right? Before we like move you up, is it? Were you at Peterborough as well, weren't you?
Yeah.
You weren't there at the same time as Peter Kennedy, were you?
No.
Oh, you weren't? Okay.
Peter Kennedy there?
Yeah.
Yeah, Peter was there. Yeah. Yeah. He told us some amazing stories about Barry Fry.
Peter went before me. Peter left Watford. Wait, Peter left Watford before me, I think. Yeah. That's right. But Peter was good. That was a good experience as well. Go on,
was
mate.
That Peterborough?
Yeah.
How was Barry?
That's cool. Barry was cool. He's calmed down then. He had calmed down. Calmed down then. Because the new fan had come in with all the dough, so Barry was quiet. I came in that era when the new fan had come in with all the dough. So Barry was, you know, quiet then, really. Just stayed in there.
Fantastic.
It kept us out of the way.
Well, yeah.
Well, listen, we've been talking for an hour, Micah, and it's been absolutely wonderful having your company. I've got very, very good memories of you playing for Watford, which, you know, there's some players that come and go and there's other players that you remember. Micah Hyde is definitely a name that I remember playing for Watford and I always thought was a great player. I enjoyed watching you play for Watford, so thank you very much for being part of our team. It was a pleasure having you.
It was an honour to watch you. I really do appreciate you wearing the yellow and getting stuck in there and Nicky butt off, because
that was a very strange game of football. That was so.
Yeah, I remember that sending off.
They already won the league. We were already relegated.
That was all hands, wasn't it? Wasn't that? Didn't you put your hand up to him or something?
Yeah, all handbags.
Yeah, you should have done it, mate.
Final game of the season, nothing to play for, and then you both get sent off. It was
sent off. Yeah. Exactly. It's my big game. I'm playing against Man United. He plays for Man United. How stupid I am? Am I?
Yeah. Well, you got. Dare I say you got sucked into that, didn't you? It was a bit like, they were always good at that, just winding the opposition up. And
they were good as well on the pitch as well. Basically.
Yeah, they were good. I mean, given their due.
At that time, they weren't too bad at putting the ball in.
They weren't too shabby, were they?
They were pretty good. They were pretty good, to be fair. Yeah, you're right. Micah, it's been an absolute pleasure having you with us. Thank you very much for coming on our podcast. If you could have a word with Jono, that'd be great.
Thanks for having me, gentlemen.
Hey, no, honestly, mate, it's wicked. It's awesome to talk to you. Honestly, I really mean that. I appreciate you taking the time out. If you're ever in Watford, I'm definitely going to buy you a beer.
No worries. I'll be about.
All right, man. That'd be cool. But yeah, good luck with the QPR, man. There's some good players coming through there. Yeah.
Cheers, man. Thanks a lot.
All right, man. Take it easy, yeah?
Thank you, Micah. Okay.
Cheers, fella.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
And you. Cheers, bro.
Social Podcast Network. It's the 90th minute. All your mates around, you've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.